it's been a good year. It's been a good year. There's been some ups and downs, but it's been a good year. As many of you know and have seen in the bulletin recently, and I've been able to talk to a few people along the way, we are starting and have already begun the process of looking for a church to move to and to pastor. And our plan, ever since we came on staff back in June 2018, was to be here for 5 to 7 years, and then look for a pastoral position. And so we passed that 5 years back in June, and we're praying, and Shalise and I were praying and talked to pastor and had kind of a plan, and then bumped up that plan just a little bit. So starting 2024, but really it's already started with looking for a place to pastor. So, and everyone we tell that to, it's kind of funny. We like, okay, we're going to start the process of looking for a church. And we've told a few friends here and there, and they're like, hey, I know, I got one or two right here, just not too far from me. You know, everybody has one or two churches that it's just, they need a pastor. And we're learning in this process, it's a lot more about saying no than it is about saying yes. Because there are hundreds of churches that need a pastor. Hundreds. And I was talking to a pastor this week, or I can't remember who it was recently, and it used to be flipped. It used to be it was pastors, there's a surplus of pastors, and they're looking for a church to go pastor, and now it's kind of flipped in, you know, 30, 40 years. Now there's so many churches, but there's not enough pastors. So that's been my burden and my calling. Ever since I was called to preach, I knew that's what I was supposed to do. And there are many details to sort through in this process of time, and you got to do your due diligence and all that stuff. But ultimately, it comes down to where God has for us. That's what we're looking for, and we want to go with the plan that He has for us rather than our own plans, our own desires. We have preferences, yes, but it's about God. It's about God. And while we are excited for this process, it's bittersweet. Because I grew up in this church. And if I had it my way, I'd take y'all with me. But this process is not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about God's plan. It's about what God wants. And God has called me to preach. God has called me to pastor. So by the grace of God, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. Let me go ahead and get a drink of water down here because I'm parched. Singing choir and all that stuff dries you out. I hope all of y'all had a... See, there's a difference between y'all and all y'all. I hope all y'all had a wonderful Christmas. I hope y'all had a good Christmas. We were up in Missouri. Went last Sunday afternoon. Rained on us the whole time, but we had a good time there. We were busy. It snowed twice while we were up there. So we didn't have a white Christmas, but we had a white Wednesday and Friday as whenever it snowed. And part of the reason we stayed for a few extra days, we stayed for a good portion of the week, came back Friday afternoon, was I was helping Brother Shane, Shalise's dad, building their house. They bought property 7 years ago, been planning and working to build a house. So he had the slab poured, and I helped him with a lot of the framing. And we got about two-thirds of the downstairs framed with the interior walls. And it was fun. I enjoy work like that. And I also got to do some squirrel hunting and butchered a whole goat and smoked the whole goat. So we were busy going here and there. I already knew this, but I learned that Brother Shane is a pretty specific guy. He likes things done a specific way, okay? He's got specific plans for his house. He has specific ways he wishes to accomplish those plans. He has specific practices. He has things that he specifically does not like and things that he specifically doesn't want to do himself. One such thing, is while we were cleaning up, it was snowing Wednesday afternoon. We were cleaning up the tools before early afternoon just so we could get ready for church, which we had to cancel because of the snow. I say we had to cancel. He had to cancel. But while we were cleaning up, the snow was falling, and I was putting up a six-foot ladder, and he asked me to place the ladder face down. You got the ladder, A-frame ladder, place it face down. And I didn't question it. I was like, okay, yeah, just do it exactly as he says. And he after he told me that, he's like, it seems silly. It seems pretty petty to ask you to put the ladder that specific way, but there's a reason for it. It's like whenever it snows or it ices, the steps are facing, okay, this is the top of the steps are facing down. If you put it face up, how many of y'all actually do this or know about this? Okay, I had no idea because we don't have snow and ice down here. Not when you're working with ladders. But he's like, if you put it face up, you come back to it next time, you can't use the ladder because it's got ice built up on it, or you got to knock it all off first and you just have more work to do. I was like, okay, it's a pretty specific thing there. But I didn't question it. It's like, yeah, okay, it's not my house, it's not my rules, it's not my ladder. He's the boss. I'm just here helping build the house. Amen. That's what I'm here for. My opinion in that situation doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Well, I think you should do it like this. Or how about let me see these blueprints over here. I think you should move this wall because this just doesn't really, this is a bad idea. That's not really my place. Okay, that's my opinion doesn't really matter. It's not my house. It's not my tools. It's not my plans. I'm not the one who spent hours, days, and years planning and preparing for this build. So whenever he asked me to cut it this specific way, lay it this specific way, nail it this specific way, I did it that specific way. And before you go judging him too harshly, everybody has different things they like done that specific way. Whether you admit it or not, everybody has something they say this specific way. Whether that is cleaning a toilet, this specific way. Folding laundry, this specific way. Or not folding laundry. Okay, loading the dishwasher. Decorating the Christmas tree. Using a... They have things, everybody has things they like it done this specific way. Right? Amen, or oh me. If you go to someone's house and you're helping them decorate their Christmas tree, it would be wrong of you to presume that you're just going to decorate it however you want to decorate it. If you're thoughtful, you'll ask, is there a specific way you want this Christmas tree decorated? Is there a specific way that you want XYZ done? Is there a specific way that you do this? It'd be wrong to presume. So you ask, do you have a specific way you want this done? And if you'll find that most often they do, and they'll probably say something like, yes, this is how I usually do it. And if they're a little bit more lax on it, they might throw in, but you can do it however you like. This is how I usually do it, but in this situation, it doesn't really matter to me. But everybody has something that they like it done this specific way. And many times they have reasons for why they do it that specific way. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. God has specific rules for us to follow a specific way. Now, we have liberty. We have freedom with some things. But there are other things in the Word of God that God says, do it this way. Amen. And he wants it done specifically, exactly that way. One of pastor's favorite sayings, let all things be done decently and in order. God is the boss. We are not the boss. We are going through life using his tools and should be following his specific way of things that he asks us to do it this way. We should be following that. Our primary job as a Christian, our primary job as a child of God is to build God's house. That's our primary job. Now, I know family, don't misunderstand me. Family is a priority, because if I can't lead my family, then I'm not qualified to lead a church, as it says in Paul's letter to Timothy. So you have to provide for your family. But what is more important, encouraging your kids towards college or encouraging and providing a way for them towards heaven? What's more important? Well, hey, I got to have this job because I got to provide for my family, put away stuff for college. Important, sure. What's more important? What's more important? Eternity, obviously, is more important. As a Christian, my primary job and your primary job is to build God's house. It's not just my job. It's not just the preacher's job. Oh, yeah, the preacher does that. He's the one that builds God's. No, it's the church. As a Christian, you should be part of a church. Amen. Just making sure everybody's connecting the dots with me here. As a Christian, you should be part of a local church, a member of a church, involved in that local church, and it is your job as a Christian. Your primary job is to help build God's house. Amen? Amen? My primary purpose in life is to glorify God with everything I do and to help build His house. This comes before hobbies. This comes before friends. This comes before making money. Build God's house. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, and seek ye not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. As a Christian, I am commissioned. I am employed to build God's house. That's my job, and that's your job. Well, how do you build God's house? No secret. Winning souls. Supporting missionaries. Just talked about Ms. Coco. Fellowship. Building? Building the church? Fellowship? Yes. Fellowshipping with the saints. Praying together. Singing. Everything is an effort to build God's house. New Heights Baptist Church objective is to make more and better Christians. It's out there on the sign, out there, making more and better Christians. Whether we are building the house to make more Christians, winning souls, or we are building the house to make better Christians, everything we are commissioned, we are employed to do as our job, our primary job as a Christian, is to build God's house. He gave us the house plans. We have the blueprints. He gave us the tools. He gave us the location. He gave us the people we need to help encourage us along the way. He is the boss. We are just here to help Him build His house. That's what we're here for. It would be wrong of us to presume that we know how to better build the house. We don't ask God. It would be wrong for us to ask God and say, "How do you want this done?" And then whenever we look at it and we see that, we start doubting it, we question it, we think we have a better way, and we throw His opinion, His truth out the window, and we go with our opinion on how to build His house. No, it would be wrong of us to do that. Why? Why is it that we shouldn't presume these things? Why is it that we shouldn't follow, or that we should rather follow precisely the things that He says, do it this way? Why is it that we should log our opinions over our shoulder, no matter what our opinions are on it, it's the way that His house is built? Why should we do all things? Because God is the boss. It's His house. We are just here to help Him build His house. That's what we're here for. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Psalm 127:1. It's not about us. It's not about our opinions. It's not about our experiences, our judgments, or our desires. It's not about us. It's about what God wants. It's about what God says. It's all about God. He's the boss. One of the biggest lies in our culture today is that little phrase, "It's all about me." If you think about it, it is everywhere. It is everywhere. It's infested into everything. It's all about me. It's all about you. You got to look out for number one. You got to make sure, you have to pay attention to yourself first and what you want for yourself first. You always got to take care of yourself first. Because if you can't take care of yourself, you can't. It's all about you. Just do what makes you happy. Your career, your education, your desires, your relationship, it's all about me. It's all about me. In the business world, people are having a harder and harder times hiring people. Harder and harder times hiring people. Because people are not looking for work. Let me clarify. People are not looking for work. People today are looking for benefits. People are looking today for the highest salary with the littlest effort. And if you don't have it, if I start here and I work here, if I'm looking for this job, and you don't offer me the things that I want, bye. I'll go somewhere that does have these things. Commitment and allegiance is out the window because everything is about me. Everything is about me. Don't believe me? The average tenure of workers, how long they stay at a business or company, over the age of 55 is 10 years. 10 years over the age of 55. The average tenure for workers aged 25 to 35 is 2.8 years. And if you go younger than that, it's less than that. Average tenure, it drops off, and it's dropped off as a whole. I believe in 2022 it was like 4, as an average of a whole, it was like 4.8. No, I think it was 4.4, and then 2023 is 4.1. So it's just dropping. Allegiance to a job, gone. What about allegiance to marriage? Allegiance to a spouse, also gone. First marriages end in divorce of 35 to 50%. While second marriages end at 60 to 70% of the time. First marriages, 35 to 50%. I read somewhere, or I've heard before, that marriage, the divorce rate is over 50%. That's not true. But second marriages are over 50%, 60 to 70% of the time. I know personally, and I'm 28 years old, but I know personally of over half a dozen people that I went to Bible college with that are divorced. Between 5 and 10 people. Probably closer to 10 now, right? She's counting. People I went to Bible college with. This is supposed to be the cream of the crop. Divorced. Why? Because it's all about me.
Amen.
Commitment to church is also taking a hit. If this church doesn't have the programs I like, I'll go find a church that does. The church isn't run the way that I want it run. They don't do things the way I want it done. Bye. See ya. Your family grew up in this church. Doesn't matter. You don't have what I want. I found the average time. I looked it up. We talk about pastors and how long the average tenure of your pastor is. I looked this up for membership. How long people actually attend church. Average, 3 to 7 years. Now if we did an average of this church, it would be 25 years or something like that. But this is just across the board with churches and people that attend those churches, 3 to 7 years. Pastors, I believe it's 3 to 6 years. Why? Well, might it be because of that same phrase? It's all about me. I think it's connected. I think it's connected. Everything in our culture is affected by people putting themselves first. I am first. It's all about me above anybody and everybody else. The company, psh. Marriage, psh. No. Kids, even. It's all about me. It's all about me. Socialism is rising. Why? Because it's all about me. So, here's the title of my message. That was all introduction. Hey, we're here till midnight, right? So I got plenty of time to preach. Here's the title here. It's not about you. Now, for me included, but I would say most people here, hearing that every once in a while is pretty healthy for us, but we don't like to hear that. It's not about you. It's not about you. Not about you. So let's take a look at some verses and see what the Scripture has to say about this. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to look at what different people, men of the Word, that were inspired by God, find out what they have to say about on this topic. Look at first at what Paul says. You'll just stay in 1 and 2 Corinthians. We're going to be jumping around quite a bit. Pastor was jumping around this morning, so I figured it'd be okay for me to jump around tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are, say it with me, God's. Amen. People take this or say, God only cares about the inside. He doesn't really care about your body or the outside. Hold on, what does that verse say? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, amen, inside and outside, amen, which are God's. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, for, hold on, let everybody get there. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We preach not ourselves. Chapter 5, verse 14. Chapter 5, verse 14 of 2 Corinthians. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live, get this, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You don't have to turn here. I'll read a few more verses. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What is Paul saying? It's not about me. We preach not ourselves. Says it's not about you. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Don't live life for yourself. Amen. It's not about you. It's not about you. What about Peter? What does he say? Book of Peter, chapter 4, verse 1. You don't have to turn there. You can say in Corinthians. Verse 1 and 2 of chapter 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Think like him. Think this way. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. What is Peter saying? It's not about you. Amen. What about John the Baptist? What does he say? John chapter 3, verse 30 says, he must increase, I must decrease. John the Baptist, what does he say? It's not about me. It's not about me. He must increase, I must decrease. What about Jesus? What did our Lord and Savior have to say about this? Hold your place in Corinthians. Turn over to Matthew chapter 20. We'll be back to Corinthians. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. Catch me there. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Minister means servant. Verse 27, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Luke chapter 22, verse 41 and 42 says, and he was withdrawn, this is Jesus, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, said, it's not about me. I didn't come to be served. Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. It's not about me. Jesus said, it's not about you. It's not about what we desire, what we like, what's in it for us. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about His church. It's about salvation for mankind. It's about His mission. It's about His plans for every soul that sits in here tonight. It's about God. My life is not about me. My body is not about me. My spirit is not about me. My thoughts are not about me. My increase is not about me. My status is not about me. My message is not about me. My ministry is not about me. My goals are not about me. My sacrifice is not about me. It's about God. He's the boss. It's about His will, His desires, His goals. I'm just here to help Him build His house. Amen. I'm just here to help Him build His house. That's what we find everywhere throughout the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible it says, do what you like. Think about yourself. Do what makes you happy. Live according to your plans. Sorry, no cigar. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God, and it's about His plans. Because it's all about God, it's also all about others. Y'all, turn back to 1 Corinthians, if you could, there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. Look at three separate verses. 1 Corinthians 10, 24 says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Verse 33, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Amen. Philippians 2, verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. 2:21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's, the natural man. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Amen. It's not about you. Amen. It's about others. There was a clever campaign a few years ago, real popular when I was in high school. I am second. Y'all remember that? I don't know if it's still as popular. I am second. It sounds nice. But it's wrong. Actually, I remember as a freshman in college, I had an argument with my roommate, and I was saying, you know, it's wrong. And he was like, It's good stuff. You have athletes and everything. And I was like, how do you even read the Bible and think otherwise? It's wrong. We're not second. You don't read the Bible and it says you come after God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. It says you come after God and everybody else. And everybody else. You are not second. You are last. You're least. He that shall be greatest shall be least. Never at any time in the Bible do we read anything other than this truth. It's not about you. It's not about you. Again, God has details in His blueprints for His house. He's got specific things included in these plans for our lives and for His church that we should be doing or should be done a specific way. Do it this way. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. You don't have to hold your spot in Corinthians anymore. Acts chapter 2. Almost everything we do at church has a reason for why we do it that way. Has a purpose for why we do that. Acts chapter 2, catch me in verse 42. And they, this is the church, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I preached not too long ago about why church, and there's largely from that verse there, verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were what? Together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking in bread from house to house, in church and at homes, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people in the church. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now there is a ton there. There is a ton there. I just have to say this because people use this portion of Scripture to promote socialism. Oh, they had all things common. They basically just lived in a big compound. No, sorry. This is not a mandate. It was a gift, what people did. Nor was it intended for government. It's for the church, completely separate. But the church had all things common. What does that mean? It means that they were together. Together. They ate together, as it says twice through there. They ate together. They lived life together. They worked together. They served together. They hung out together. They had parties together. They went to each other's birthday parties. They learned together. They witnessed together. They prayed together. They suffered together. They wept together, and they grew together. God added to His house daily such as should be saved, with the church working together. We can't do things together if all we're concerned about is me. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It has to be about God. It has to be about His church. It has to be about the togetherness of the church. It's not about you. It's not about you. Together. That means everybody together helps building God's house. Together we build God's house. Alone, we become stagnant. Like a motionless pond covered in moss and filth. Stinky. Rot. Bitter. Nasty. Motionless. A big problem happens when a few try to accomplish the task of the whole. This is with business, this is across the board. Big problem happens when a few try to accomplish the task of the whole. A few show up to work, a few show up for every service, a few build, and the rest sit like city construction crews that five men watch and one man does the digging. Think how discouraging it can get for someone to work hours on preparing a sermon or a Sunday school lesson just to have a few show up. Amen. Think how discouraging it can get for someone to plan the event just for no one to show up. After a little while of that, the ones doing the work can lose heart, burn out, and sometimes blow out to somewhere else where hopefully someone will help them do the work. Amen. Everything in the Christian's life is about glorifying God by building His house. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about my family. It's not about my specific group of friends. The purpose that I go to church is not to get together with my peeps and leave the rest of the church out. That's why we have ministries like the Titus Project that builds the bridge between the older generation and the younger generation and mixes up the people. That's why we have church activities and fellowships to make connections with a broad range of people. Because it's not about your friends. Right. It's not about my friends. My family, my whole family goes to church here. Half of my family I didn't even say hello to this morning. But it's not about that. Right. It's not about that. It's not about me. It's not about them. It's about God. That activity, that fellowship is not about planning something that I enjoy. It's about planning it to build God's house together. Amen. Purposeful breaking of bread. Purposeful fellowship. I really don't like that event that we do. So what? That's not the point. It's not about you. It's about building God's house according to His blueprint, and we're just here to help. Amen. And if we're not helping build God's house, whether that be by making more Christians, winning souls, or making better Christians, if we're not helping build the house, we're hurting the house. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's about God, and it's about His house. Amen. Now, let's reverse this thought. Let's reverse it. If this selfish thought process is going to change, if the Lord's house is going to be built, then it's all about you. It's all about you, and it's all about how you respond. It's all about us. It's all about what changes we make in our own lives. It's not about somebody else. Yeah. It's about me. It's all about me. And how willing I am to sacrifice myself. How willing I am to sacrifice myself, to sacrifice my desire, to sacrifice my thoughts. Nothing is about me. It's all about God. But if anything is going to change with this thought process, it's all about surrendering to what He has, and it's all about how you respond. It's all about surrendering to go where God has called me and my family as pastor. He's called me. I've got to go. I've got to go. Bittersweet? Yes, but I got to go. I have to. Why? Not about me. It's all about building God's house. Amen. Building the family of God. It's not about me. It's not about you. But if anything is to change, if God's house is going to be built, it's all about you. It's all about me. It's all about us and working together, serving together, living the Christian life together, and having all things common together. It's all about what you are going to do to fight back against the constant pull and the constant pressure of our society to think. It's all about me. Christianity is all about God. Christianity is all about God and His house. He's the boss. You are just here to help build His house. Let's stand for prayer.